بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله. To go over what we've been covering so far these past couple nights, where we're at, what we want to cover tonight, I'm just going to give a very short recap of how far we've gotten in our discussion. It was said that religion, faith, is a set of beliefs, and of course a legal system that will come after those beliefs for those who embrace that faith, those who adopt those beliefs. These beliefs and notions are sometimes very, very important, to the extent that if they're left to the people, people might misinterpret them sometimes. And if they misinterpret them, then that will defeat the whole purpose of that faith. I gave examples before about the Christian faith. I gave examples of Hajj, and I'm not going to go back to that. One of those concepts that we have in Islam, one of those beliefs that we have in Islam, that Shia and Sunnah we all share, is the importance and value of the love of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. This is something you find in the Quran, in that verse that says قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. We've already covered that. It also can be found in many, many hadiths as well. Shia and Sunnah, as I said, in the books of both schools of thought. It's one of those things that really is agreed upon by everybody. And so, that usually you won't find both schools of thought agreeing so much on certain things. This is one of them. That love of Ahlul Bayt is something that is wajib on everybody, is necessary on every Muslim out there. So this concept is there in the sources. This is one of those concepts that if misinterpreted and misunderstood can be detrimental to the faith. Although it's such a lofty concept in the deen, yet if misinterpreted can be detrimental. That which could have been good can be taken in the wrong way and can be bad and hurt one's faith. And shaitan will just sit back and relax. I keep saying that. What kind of misunderstanding can that be? A person might feel that this love is so boldened and so highlighted that means that if I have this love, I'm good to go no matter what I do in my life. So we've had cases like this in other faiths as well. And it's very obvious and clear that this is detrimental to one's faith. But it's out there, brothers and sisters. And as I said before, we're going back to the basics to make sure we figure these things out and then move on to more deeper concepts and subjects. Sometimes you see people, after 20, 30 years of attending majalis, they're still struggling on the basis. I don't want our next generation to be like that. We don't have time to waste anymore, brothers and sisters. The world is moving pretty fast. So I'll take my phone out. Like, oh cool, there's this new app called Instagram. Let me figure it out. Once I figure it out, then there's this thing called Snapchat. I stopped at that. I don't even know how to use that thing. But everyone's using that now. Before you know it, something else. We don't have time, brothers and sisters, to fall behind when it comes to our understanding of these things. We have to figure them out, move on, because the world is moving on. This is the concept out there. The questions that were posed was, this love of Ahlul Bayt, which is so important and does so many wonders for us, because the hadiths tell us, are those effects, those wonders going to come no matter what I do in my life, no matter what conditions I meet or don't meet, as long as I have love of Ahlul Bayt? That was the question. Last night we started with the first of those conditions. We said that no, it's not unconditional. There are conditions to this love being effective. Yes, no one denies, and we went through some stories in hadith yesterday about how love itself, even if you don't meet the conditions of this love, that love itself at the end of the day can do you good still. And how the Ahlul Bayt in several occasions that we spoke about yesterday have brought this to the attention of people. That look, no matter what you do, no matter how bad you are, don't turn away from us. So we took care of that part. That's our disclaimer. We're good, right? That is something that is set in stone. That love of Ahlul Bayt, no matter what, inshallah, is going to be helpful to someone, even if they don't meet the conditions of that love. But we want to see how we can hit full potential when it comes to this love. Get maximum outcome and maximum results from this love. Yeah? For that, conditions have to be met. The first condition we talked about last night was that this hubb and this love has to be lillah. And these hadiths that we covered last night were pretty clear about that. Man habbana lillah. Whosoever loves us because of Allah. We talked about that. And I took a few shots at our people today, and myself being one of them, that we better be more careful. Reality check. Like, if my life, if I am doing stuff for out of love of the imams, I am, for example, organizing programs and stuff, I better be careful that I take a good benefit from whatever is happening, whatever is being promoted in these majalis, for example. I don't want to fall behind. Yeah? Brothers and sisters, once again, I'm going to take the example of organizers of programs, okay? And as I said last night as well, I don't mean anybody here, I'm talking in general. There are some people out there, they are running back and forth, left and right, making sure every program is done right. Yeah? This person never gets the opportunity to actually benefit from what's being said in these majalis. Sometimes they don't even read, at least. Okay, I understand you want to make sure the program is working fine. You can't just sit there. That's right. No one's expecting you to do that. But are you, at the end of the day, reading, enhancing your understanding of Islam, or not asking questions when you have the opportunity? Sometimes that might not be the case, and we got to be very careful about that. There are others, on the other hand, it's like, hey, I want to bring, now, Sheikh, I'm an ignorant Sheikh, but they'll say, I want to bring Sheikh to the center. Why? Because I'll have 20 minutes, 40 minutes to ask him questions on the way. That's how some people look at it. They make the most of it. Others, the opportunity is in front of them. The fruit is in front of them. They don't pick that fruit. Yeah? So these are things that we have to be careful about. Then, if we love Ahlul Bayt, we get Allah out of it in the end. Or else, if we stop at Ahlul Bayt, they came because they're the channels to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the ultimate goal. So that was the first condition. There's a nice story that also echoes this. I thought it would be nice to share with you about how this love for Ahlul Bayt has to be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to share this story with you, that someone entered upon Imam Abi Ja'far al-Muhammad al-Baqir. He entered upon Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. An old man, it says, he came with his cane, stands at the door. Inside, it's like a proper, you know, gathering, and there's lots of people there. And so he says salam to the Imam. فَقَالَ السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكَ يَا ابْنَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. O son of the Prophet, salam unto you. وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ. So then he says, ثُمَّ سَكَتْ. He goes quiet, waiting for his response. Imam al-Baqir says, وَعَلَيْكَ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ. Then he turns to the rest of the crowd. Assalamu alaikum to everybody there too. Everyone responds to him. You know, that happens sometimes, that, you know, it's a slow process. So first to the Imam, then to the people. Alright, some time is taken now. What does he want to say? What's so important that he wants to get this attention? He says to the Imam, he says to him, Ya ibn Rasulillah. First he says to him, Adnani mink, can I get close to you? Come close to me, O Imam al-Baqir. Right? He tells him, can I come close to you? Sure. فَوَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَأُحِبُّكُمْ وَأُحِبُّ مَنْ يُحِبُّكُمْ. I love you, and I love whoever loves you. Okay, so this is what the important thing was that he wanted to mention. He has something in his mind. He wants to make sure he got it right. What a blessing, really, that you have access to the Imam and you can run things by him like that. That's really a blessing. أُحِبُّكُمْ وَأُحِبْ مَنْ يُحِبُّكُمْ وَوَاللَّهِ. This part's the important part. مَا أُحِبُّكُمْ وَأُحِبْ مَنْ يُحِبُّكُمْ لِطَمَعٍ فِي دُنْيَا وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَأُبْغِضُ عَدُوَّكُمْ وَأَبْرَأُ مِنْهُ وَوَاللَّهِ مَا أُبْغِضُهُ وَأَبْرَأُ مِنْهُ لِوَتْرٍ كَانَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَهُ. He says, I love whoever I love, which is you and those who love you, but not because of something that I'm going to reach. Remember yesterday I said, when you say dunya, anything other than Allah will be dunya. Anything other than Allah will be dunya. When I say anything other than Allah, Allah and that whole chain, that vertical chain that reaches Allah, of course, the prophets, the imams, the Quran, all these things, right? When someone loves Quran, they love Quran, Allah's at the top of that chain. So Quran to Allah. Anything outside of that line is dunya. Whether you're doing it for some spotlight, whether you're doing it, you know, just feel good. You are doing stuff for Ahlul Bayt because it feels good. That's your dunya, I guess. Yeah, that's why we gotta be efficient. We gotta be careful about. We gotta be smart about why we do certain things. We don't wanna waste our time. He says, I love you not because of something that I'm going to reach, whatever it is. And I hate the ones who hate you, not because I got a grudge, a personal beef with somebody. No, no, no. All of this is because, Wallah, inni. It's because of you yourselves. Because of you yourselves equals because of you, because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one, he says. And then also, what else do I have? And these are some of the conditions that we'll have later and we'll cover later. He says, Wallah, inni la uhillu halalakum wa harrimu haramakum. Whatever you said goes. Halal, that you say is halal, is halal. And whatever you say is haram, is haram. By the way, let me open a parenthesis here. Huh? He says, I make halal that which you make halal. Some of our brothers and sisters, sometimes that we go a little overboard when it comes to taking precaution in things and ihtiyat and all that kind of stuff. And then we will make things haram on our kids that aren't really haram. And then they will have to stay away from that. And then when something actual haram comes up, they're compromising over there. We got to get these things down. We have to figure these things out. As a matter of fact, once something was halal, I was explaining to the people that this is halal. Here, look, it says it in the book. A parent came to me there. He said, don't say it's halal because I've always taught my kids it's haram. I was like, seems like a personal problem to me. Yeah? So, sometimes we make those things that are halal, we make them haram. That's not spirituality. There's another name for that. So number two, I take whatever you say as the word of God, as the command of God. If it's halal, it's halal. If it's haram, it's haram. Number two. So number one, love. Number two, halal and haram. Number three, وَأَنْتَظِرُ أَمْرَكُمْ. I am awaiting your amr, your affair. Which affair is he talking about? When you take over again. Now, that didn't happen during the 11 imams, but the 12th imam when he returned. So he's a muntadhir. He's one of those who's awaiting dhuhur maybe, or awaiting al-faraj. These are the three things I have. What did the imam tell him? He said, you know what? This question was asked from my father, the same question. I'm going to give you the same answer that my father gave the person who asked him. What did he say? He said, look, if you die, taridu ala Rasulillah, wa ala Aliyin, wa al-Hasani, wa al-Husayn, wa Ali ibn al-Husayn, وَيَثْلَجُ قَلْبُكْ وَيَبْرُدُ فُؤَادُكْ. All these good things are going to happen to you after you pass away. Yeah? You will enter upon the Holy Prophet, Imam Ali, Al-Hasan, Al-Husayn. He says this to the person, and more than that even, your heart will be cooled. In other words, it's going to be good. He tells him all these things. This person can't believe it. And he says, are you sure? He says, yeah. And he repeats all of that again to this old man. And then the old man says, really? And so he's old, right? So he starts repeating things. And he says, are you telling me that if I, because of these three things that I had, if I die, this will happen, this will happen. He repeats everything Imam al-Baqir had said. And Imam al-Baqir says, yes. Until the point that, وَلَوْ قَدْ بَلَغَتْ نَفْسُكَ هَوْهُنَا. That when your life reaches here even, in other words, when you're dying, You will have mercy and grace of the Kiram al-Katibin, the angels that write your deeds, all these things, they're going to come with you to you with mercy and stuff. All that good stuff, he tells them. He says, فَقَالَ الشَّيْخ. It says that this sheikh starts crying. It says, now the Arabic is interesting. It says, أَقْبَلَ الشَّيْخ يَنْتَحِبُ وَيَنْشِجْ هَا هَا هَا. Which in Farsi we say, هَي هَي. When you cry like loudly. So it says he starts crying all loudly and he can't help it and he falls to the ground and the people in that gathering start to weep and so on. So the imam comes to him and, you know, starts wiping the tears off of his face. And all this, why? Because of what? Al-hub lillah. And of course, the other conditions that we'll have later as well. All because of that. And so as this sheikh is leaving, sheikh means old man, not sheikh in the term that we use it today, but in the sense we use it today. When this sheikh is leaving, it says, أَقْبَلَ أَبُو جَعْفَرْ يَنْظُرُ فِي قَفَاهُ. Imam al-Baqir just looked at him as he's walking out. And he said, مَنْ أَحَبَّ أَن يَنْظُرَ إِلَى رَجُلٍ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever wants to see somebody that's going to be in Jannah, فَلْيَنْظُرْ إِلَى هَذَا. Look at this person. What did he have? I didn't see anything crazy, by the way, brothers and sisters. Did you see anything crazy? Oh, he did this a'mal, those a'mal, or something that, you know, is a secret. He had three basic things down, and he wasn't lying about it. He had hub for the Prophet, for the Imams, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he has amal, halal and haram taken care of. And he's awaiting the return of the final Imam. This is before the 12th Imam, by the way. But he's awaiting their amr, the time when the Imams will be in charge again. Yeah? That's all it was. These are the basics. So that first condition, brothers and sisters, which is al-hub, not for reaching certain things or for, I don't know, some recognition or acknowledgement, all that kind of stuff. No. Al-hub lillah. Condition number one. Let's move on to condition number two. Recite the salawat. The second condition for this love to have that the desired effect that we're going to talk about in the future. Some people last night were asking me, oh, you said that hadith about Imam Ali, that I will come to you in three places if you have this love. I didn't mention the three places because I want to make sure you come for that majlis, right? Where we talk about the benefits of this love. We'll get to those later. The rewards and the good stuff that comes as a result. If we want that desired effect, second condition that this love, ulama will talk about and say, is that this love should come with no expectations. In Urdu and Farsi, we say with no minnat. Yeah? I'm doing a favor, thinking that something's going to come in return. Let's talk about that a little bit. When we talk about this, of course, you find the greatest example of it on Ashura. When he's taken the arrows so the Imam can pray, and then after the prayer, the Imam comes over him and he tells the Imam, Abafit, did I fulfill that which was my duty and responsibility? In other words, I owed you something. I was indebted to you. Have we set the balances straight now? Not that, hey, now you owe me something. That it culminates in Ashura. But I want to share with you a story that's pretty cool of Imam al-Ridha. That look, if all of these things that we're doing, this talk of love of Ahlul Bayt and all that is there, it is not for their purpose. It's for our good and for our purpose. Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, and we have similar stories like this. I just chose this one. But someone comes to Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, حَمَلَ إِلَىٰ أَبِي الْحَسَنِ الرِّضَى مَالًا. A person brings some wealth to Imam al-Ridha. لَهُ خَطَرٌ. It was proper wealth. It ain't no normal wealth. It was big stuff. And then he gives it to the Imam, probably as, you know, حُقُوق شَرْعِيَّة. You know, those monetary dues that we have in Islam, right? He gives it to the Imam and then he says, فَلَمْ أَرَهُ صُرَّ بِهِ. I didn't see him get too happy about it. قَالْ فَاغْتَمَمْتُ. I got upset. And I said to myself, I didn't say it out loud, I said to myself, I brought all this wealth, all this money with me, and he didn't get happy as a result of it, you know? Right there, Imam al-Ridha, he says, يَا غُلَام. Tells the person that was there, you know, the servant or whatever that was there. He tells him to bring the tust, it says here. You know, in first we say tasht, a little bucket or something. Yeah, something that contains water in it. A container. And bring the water too. It's an interesting hadith. It says, he sat on a chair, the Imam, and he tells this ghulam, pour water on my hand. And he's pouring water in his hand into the bucket. And lo and behold, طال فجعل يسيل من بين أصابعه في الطست ذهبون. That gold started coming out. ثم التفت إلي. Then Imam al-Ridha looked at me. So he said that to himself. He didn't say it out loud, like, oh, what gives, you know? التفت إلي, looked at me, فقال لي من كان هكذا لا يبالي بالذي حملته إلي. A person who's like this, you know what I'm saying? The bling bling. A person who has this doesn't care too much about what you bring him. Now, someone might say, that's a pretty mean Imam al-Ridha, yeah? But these Imams wanted to make sure that they refine these individuals. This person is good enough that he's taken out this money from his wealth and is giving it as monetary dues probably to the Imam. So he's, alhamdulillah, he's above average. And by the way, like, we'll talk about this khums thing later. We'll talk about it a little bit right after this story. The Imam sees that, okay, this person has some potential. And if he can fix them up even more, he should. And so sometimes the Imams, to the people that they loved, they would sometimes take a harsher tone because that was what was needed for that person right there. He says, look, man, if I can do something like this and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me and put to my disposal things of this dunya, if I'm not using it, it's because I want you to grow. You're bringing me that little bit of yours. That little bit is going to really get you somewhere if you have the right perspective. And that's what we're here for, by the way, brothers and sisters. These majalis are to give us perspective, for us to understand how things are supposed to be, how they're supposed to be seen, a Quranic worldview. Or else, if we don't get anything out, if we don't get this out of these lectures, then, you know, we're wasting our time. Perspective is the most important thing. That's what the Imams were doing all the time. That's what the Quran does all the time. Giving perspective. He tells them, look, I can do this, but I don't need that. What's the point of doing something like this if it's not going to go through you? The whole point of all of us coming into this world, brothers and sisters, is the hardships of this world. Or else, if that wasn't the case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wouldn't bring us here. Imam Rida, looks like you can take care of yourself. You know? So from now on, we won't bring our monetary dues. He says, okay, I'll take care of myself. Don't worry about me. I have my Lord. But when are you going to grow? When are you going to kind of detach from this world that you're in love with so much? One of the first places that happens is when you have to separate from the money a little bit. Yeah, it's not easy. So the Imam, he says, look, if I do it my way, you're not going to grow. That defeats the whole purpose. The whole point is that you bring what is yours to me. So if you bring it to me, this is the part, brothers and sisters, it's important, the condition that we're talking about. Don't have expectations. Did I smile at you? Did I not smile at you? Did I thank you? Did I not thank you? All of these things. Yeah, the Imam might receive one person more, receive somebody less. Might smile to somebody and thank them for the monetary dues that they're coming and submitting, and might not smile to somebody else. Who cares? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy. He's teaching him a lesson here. Brothers and sisters, if we do something for Ahlul Bayt, yeah? Expectations shouldn't be there. I'm going to give you some examples, but I want to go through some stories, a few more, just to show you how this is a culture in Islam. You feel like Islam, this is the result of it, the stories that of proper scholars that I want to give you. For example, Ayatollah Burujerdi, rahmatullah alayh, the biggest in the contemporary, like in the past 100 years, one of the biggest maraji of the times of these past 100 years was Ayatollah Burujerdi, one of the ones that was at the top and everyone else was at the bottom. Today we have like 10, 12, 15, I don't know how many maraji, they're all, you know, kind of up to par with each other. Back then it was Ayatollah Burujerdi, maybe one or two other ones, maybe. And the rest were all down here. Someone comes to Ayatollah Burujerdi. What does he do? He comes with him with monetary dues. And he wants to give it to him. But he gives it to him like in a disrespectful way. Ayatollah Burujerdi, he says, we don't need your money, go. First of all, I'm not going to spend it for myself. I'm going to spend it for Islam, first of all. Second of all, why are you even bringing it to me in the first place? Because it doesn't belong to you, right? It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the Imam. That one-fifth belongs to the Imam. And the reason why you're bringing it, because you know it's a taklif, it's a wazifa on you, it's a duty on you. And you are supposed to understand that this is going to help you grow. And then you come and just give it disrespectfully. I'm not interested. I don't care. I'm not going to break my izzat in nafs, my honor, taking something like this. Although it's not even going to reach me, it's going to be spent other places. Why? Because you expect me to, like, you know, bring myself down because you're doing something big. It reaches a point, brothers and sisters. It reaches a point where some people, really, when they bring their monetary dues, not to me, to the maraja, when they bring it to them, they say that they have an expectation that this is going to be used in a way that, you know, at least I'm happy. Bro, it's not yours. It belongs to somebody else. The second condition is that we don't have that expectation as if somebody owes us something after we... Ahlul Bayt, I want to use this example, I'm sorry, but I am single. Well, I'm not single, but I'm talking like just in general. Somebody is single and they want to get married. Ahlul Bayt, I held programs for you. Now it's your turn to do me a favor. Right? That's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it is what? That this person goes to the majlis of Aba Abdullah, sets up and organizes the majlis of Aba Abdullah al-Husayn, and then in that majlis he raises his hands to Allah, oh Allah, you know what my problem is. Answer my call, answer my dua. These are two different things. One is with an expectation, one is without the expectation. These two are totally different than each other. So now the question is this. The question is this, that what can go wrong? What's wrong with the fact that if I have an expectation? So what if I have an expectation? As I said, if you do it the second way, it's good because it's without an expectation. Do dua, ask for it, but do it the right way. If you have an expectation, what can go wrong is this. Either you will get that which you have an expectation of, or you don't get it. If you do get it, this love that you have for Ahlul Bayt, the reward that you're going to get in return for it is given to you. Okay, this is your expectation, here you go. Then you're going to miss out on all the other cool stuff we're going to be covering in future nights about what this love can attain for us, what we can achieve through it. You don't want to fall short of all of that. You want to get as much return of investment as possible. And that is not something that I'm saying. That is something Imam Ali says. He says, when you do business with God, make sure you get as much as you can out of it. Even Imam Ali himself, he says, look, I'm not going to settle for anything less than infinity and eternity. I'm not settling for anything less. But that you get that in the Akhirah. You don't get it here. Some people will settle for that little thing that they're doing, this love they have for Ahlul Bayt. They'll settle for whatever Allah gives them here that they wanted, that they expected. That word expectation is very important. Versus, oh Allah, I have a need, please, through the right of Ahlul Bayt, bihaq to him, give it to me. That's if you get what you wanted. If you don't get what you're asking for, though, or you don't get, I don't want to say it like that. Let's erase that sentence. Not asking for what you have expectations of. I'm saying it in a negative tone. Expectations of, I have love of Ahlul Bayt. Where are they? What happened? Sometimes these questions are asked. That, oh Shaykh, not even Ahlul Bayt, forget Ahlul Bayt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That I've been doing this and that and this and that, and I've continuously done this. But why is Allah not doing anything for me? Well, there's a lot going on that we don't know. There's a lot of bala and tragedies that are repelled from us that we don't know. Sometimes Allah will add 5 years to my life. I don't even know that. And I'm thinking, why didn't I get that white iPhone? They got me a black one. You know? And you're saying, oh Allah, I've done everything. What happened? He'll tell you, trust me, if you had the choice between the phone and 5 years extra on your life, I think you'd choose the second one. But he's not going to talk to us like that. That's where the whole test is. We know it's happening. We just don't see it. And so Allah wants to see, is he gonna wait for the good stuff that's gonna come later, or he wants everything now? As Nike says, just do it right now. Everything right now matters. Huh? Which one is it? That's the test. So either I have expectations and that which I have an expectation of is fulfilled, that might just be my reward, and that's what I used my love, that love of Ahlul Bayt for. I cashed it, that's all that is. I don't have anything in Akhirah. Expectations are dangerous. Or I don't get that which I have an expectation of. Yeah? I come up here, I love Ahlul Bayt, that's why I'm going to be lecturing. But then when my lecture goes online, I don't get 100 likes on it. Huh? Or 100, 200 views on it, or whatever. Yeah? I don't get it, but I had that expectation. That's what I had in mind. Ahlul Bayt, I'm doing this for you. You know what? I mean, people better start clicking. You know? When the lecture's over. And that didn't happen because, you know, such a sorry lecture that was presented, right? That if I don't get that which I have an expectation of, there's two things here that are going to be a problem. Number one, at the end of the day, my intention was flawed. And so when it's flawed, that means one of those conditions wasn't met. And so there goes some of those benefits that I could have had as a result of this love. So right there, it's gone. A person performs salat, but does it to show off, the salat is gone, his akhirah is gone. Everything's gone. You don't get anything out of it. Even if people don't praise him, he did it for the praise of the people, but since the intention was flawed, the salat doesn't even do what it's supposed to do for this person. So that's number one. But number two, after a while, sometimes this will happen. When I do things out of expectation, what might happen is when those expectations are not met, I start doubting the thing itself, the concept itself. This holds with everything and everybody, and every concept, not just this concept in Islam, even with Allah Himself. A person believes that Allah equals the one who fulfills your wishes. If you have wishes, He will fulfill them. If it's on Christmas, it's Santa Claus. If it's the other 364 days of the year, it's Allah. Alright? That's how they see it. Allah equals a person who grants my wishes. What happens when they're not granted their wishes? Then that must not be an Allah then. Because an Allah is what? An Allah is someone who fulfills wishes. When wishes are not being fulfilled, then there must be no Allah. Saying it sounds weird, but practically this eats away at one's mind and one's beliefs. And before you know it, you're questioning the thing itself. And this happens. It happens. To the extent that I'm going to share a hadith with you, which is very interesting, that I want to share my take on that hadith with you. The hadith says that Ana, it's from Imam al-Ridha, that Allah says, Ana inda dhanna abdi al-mu'min in khayran fa khayran wa in sharran fa sharran. That, look, O servant of mine, the way you perceive me, the way you have expectations of me, I will be just like that. If you have a good perception of me, I will be good. If you have bad perception of me, I'll be bad to you. Yeah? That's what it's saying. Someone might ask, okay, the good, if I believe that Allah is going to forgive me, if I believe Allah is going to eventually help me, if I believe Allah is going to eventually give me the things that I need, yeah? And He will do that as a result of my benefit of the doubt towards Him. That's good. I don't see any problem in that, someone might say. But why is it that if I have a bad perception of Allah and I don't give Him benefit of the doubt, that He's going to be like that towards me? Is He like wanting to get revenge all the time? Brothers and sisters, I just want to share my take on this with you. Sometimes, unfortunately, a person, their understanding of Allah is a negative one. But they believe in Allah at the end of the day. You with me? They believe in Allah, but the definition of Allah to them is something not too positive, a little negative. If all of a sudden Allah does them good because they were so fixated on a negative Lord, and then sometimes they see positive things in their life, that might reach a point where they question God's existence. Are you with me? Look at how sensitive it is, the matter. If Allah is going to be good to someone who feels that Allah is something that is a little negative, yeah? It might lead to a point where this person might start doubting God. Yes, that person has to fix their perception of God. Right? This is not ideal. But look at how much Allah cares for somebody. That if this is what it takes for that person to keep their conviction in God, the fact that He's not going to always grant them their wishes, for example, or things won't always work out in life for them, yeah, this person has been raised thinking that if God likes you, He's going to keep giving you hardship. What happens to this person? All the doors are open to them. He's going to start doubting. Whoa, wait, what's going on? We thought that that's not how it works with God. Am I a bad person? Does God not exist? To that extent, Allah is going to have our backs so that we don't turn against Him. To the point that if we feel that He's negative, He might be a little negative, so that we say, okay, that He's still there. He's there then. He's there. You get what I'm saying, brothers and sisters? This is very subtle. There's a little subtle point in all of this. Alright. So what am I trying to say? What I'm trying to get out of all of this is that when you have expectations of the imam, and the imams, because of the love that you have for them, but they don't give, or they're not the wasitah, they don't cause that which you wanted to actually reach you, slowly you might even think that there's a problem with these imams. That's why expectations can be a problem when you have love of Ahlul Bayt. You know, I hear this, you know, husbands and wives are always telling each other this. If you love me, yeah, you would listen to what I'm saying. You know, we always have that being said. Look at people laugh at that. Yeah, I know it's there. If that not listening or listening happens or doesn't happen, that is how they gauge whether you love them or not. Here, expectation. So that's the second condition for this love, that it is done without expectation. We have a verse of the Quran. I'll end with this verse. that talks about this. That there are people who are Muslim, embrace Islam. Why? They يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ. They're hanging from a thread. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ فَإِنْ أَصَابَهُ خَيْرٍ اطْمَأَنَّ بِهِ. If something good comes to them, and among the people are those who worship Allah on the very fringe, or harf sometimes means word, it's just the word of their mouth. If good fortune befalls them, they're content with it, and they're good. Or Islam is a good religion. Expectations, you see. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ فِتْنَةٌ انْقَلَبَ عَلَى وَجْهِهِ خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. What a loser. But if something bad befalls them, that thread is cut off. They just separate from the religion. Their religion, right? And not just the religion, as if universe and God and everything revolves around this person's expectations. That is disgusting. To the point that his faith will be compromised if Allah doesn't give him what he wants. Well, that's too bad. If religion's job was to just for us to come here, and so because we're religious, we get everything that we ask for, there's no point in that. Might as well take us straight to Jannah then. There's no point in coming here. It's all about going through the ups and downs in life, understanding that there's an akhirah, how important that akhirah is. The rest, the ups and downs, I'll try my best to take care of myself in this life, but I'm not going to compromise and lose out on all the awesome benefits of a concept like this. Why? Because I have certain expectations, because I feel like everything has to revolve around me in this dunya. That's not how it works. As a matter of fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the rest of these saints of Allah, they look at the bigger picture. Sometimes certain things just might not be in our benefit. They keep that away from us. In the end, if I acknowledge that He's God, if I acknowledge that this is Ahlul Bayt, that they have love more for me than my mother does for me, the rest, whatever happens, is good. I have no problem. So that is the second condition of this love. Inshallah, we'll continue in future nights with the rest of the conditions, maybe two or three more, and then we'll move on to the benefits of this love. Recite the salawat, please. Assalamu alaykum, Ya Aba Abdullah. It said that on these days, the second of Muharram, which was today, that Imam Hussein alayhi salam eventually arrived to Karbala. The story of how they had to go to Karbala we'll maybe talk about tomorrow night in our Masa'ib tomorrow night. It says that the Imam came to this land, eventually this promised land, and he asks that what is the name of this land. So he's asking people, and he's told it has this name, it has that name. He continues to ask the name of this land, and he is told this is the land of Karbala, that's one of the names. And so that's when he hears that name, he says that it tells his people and the caravan, this is where we're going to be staying. This is the place, the eternal resting place of these believers. What a land of secrets, what a land of mysteries that people are dying today to go to. Imam Ali alayhi salam, they say he was passing by this land once in the Battle of Siffin, and that story of Siffin, as he passes, he stops. People don't know what's going on. And so he looks at this land and he speaks. He says, Hahuna, this is the place that is Masari'u, Ushaqin, Shuhada. This is the resting place and the falling place of Ushaq. This word is not used often, brothers and sisters. Ishq means a burning love, a passion, something that just deactivates the mind. You can't think anymore. You just think about that love that you have. Ishq, that's what it's used for. We all have this word in our cultures. He says, this is Masari'u Ushaq. This is the falling place of the Ushaq, the lovers with that burning love. Shuhada, they're also martyrs. La yasbiquhum man kana qablahum. No one who came before them can fall ahead of them. SubhanAllah, brothers and sisters, whenever I read this line, it sends chills down my spine. That Imam Ali is going to say that there are a group of people, whoever came before them cannot fall ahead of them. And whoever comes after, وَلَا يَلْحَقُهُمْ مَنْ بَعْدَهُمْ, whoever comes after them will not be able to reach them either, and will never be able to join them. Their rank is somewhere else up in the sky. This is the ishq and love of this land that was presented in this land, that was manifested in this land. It's this love, brothers and sisters, that in a few days when the battle breaks out, that people, they will stand around Imam Hussein alayhi salam as he's praying, and the arrows come, and they're going to shield themselves in front of these arrows. Don't think this is easy. There's a story, one of these people, he says that I was thinking to myself, if I was on that day as well, if I was there in Ashura, I would have stood in front of the arrows as they come as well. He falls asleep that night, he dreams that he's on the side of Abu Abdullah, and he is protecting the tents. He is protecting the Imam as he's praying. He says, an arrow came, as it was coming, I had to shield the Imam from that arrow, I moved away from it, and it hit the Imam. It's not easy, brothers. It takes love. It's because of this love that in a few days, they're going to stand as these arrows pierce their chests and they fall to the ground as the Imam is praying. It's because of this love that they will give their arms in the way of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. It's because of this love that the thirst will dry their mouths. It's because of this love that the spears will be lodged into their chests, and they might even still leave this dunya with a smile on their face. It's the love. Ushaqan shuhada. Mothers will lose their sons, wives will lose their husbands. Abbas will lift that water up from the river and he will look at it, but he will spill it back into the river. And only love can explain these things, brothers and sisters. But if that's the love that these people had, the children are a little different. The children, the love will make it numb maybe, make the people a little numb when they're going through all of this pain. They make it easier for them. But these children on Ashura, if today they are coming off and dismounting the camels and they're running around maybe playing as they're pitching the tents, on the 10th day, when the time comes, when the last of the soldiers of Abu Abdullah fall, when Abu Abdullah himself falls on the sands of Karbala, as they raise his head on the spears and these kids are running around, I don't know if that love is going to help them. These kids will be running on the hot sands. These sands that have become hot under the sun, in addition to the fact that there were trenches around the camp of Abu Abdullah with fire in them, so people wouldn't come and ambush from behind. This sand is hot, brothers and sisters. These children will be running around on this sand as these thorns pierce their little feet. They'll be trampled under the horses coming for war spoils as they come marching in. Some reports say that these kids were trampled under those horses, some of them. Some even say that they were struck by swords in half on that day. The love is going to work for the older ones, but these little children, they don't know what's going on. They have to run for their lives. Cheeks will be slapped, earrings will be torn off, some of their dresses will be on fire. Some of them will be watching as these animals come and drag out the bodies of their fathers. These orphans will watch as their bodies are dragged out, the bodies of their fathers, and these animals start to behead them one after another. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. العلي العظيم وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون والعاقبة للمتقين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Just a reminder, there is no Q&A tonight. The next Q&A is tomorrow, and Q&As take place every other night. You're welcome to stay for the Arabic lecture. Brothers, stay here if you want to. Otherwise, please exit from the door. Sisters, if you